joy in welcoming you all for the 8th lecture in the series of lectures being delivered by Professor Date on the subject From the Lamp Post to the Lighthouses of Spiritual Life. I will not stand between you and the other speakers and request Professor Date to begin this lecture.
From the Bombay Central to Santa Cruz, and the road is all lighted by lampposts. But after that, there is the ocean, and there will be no use of these lampposts. At the most, to guard you against the dangers of hidden rocks, there will be lighthouses. These lighthouses will also be not useful for the aeroplanes as for the coming ships. But I am not taking into consideration the travel by aeroplanes, but by ships only. That is my limitation. Those who will be traveling by aeroplanes, they may tell something more. How to be in the land of gods with angels and with God himself. I am not capable of telling you that, but I am telling you only of the lighthouses, mainly of the saints and the sages. Beyond that, we do not know what it is. The universe is so big that one cannot know the extent of that. Mam tu vedana kashchana. So Gita says that so far as God is concerned, nobody knows. That is infinite, and the finite cannot know the infinite. I am a finite being, a small creature, just crawling as an ant up upon the surface of the land, and I cannot measure the heights of the infinite, you see, and the depths of the infinite also. So I am not capable of that. I know my own limitations, and you should know also my own limitations. Therefore, I am speaking only in the lighthouse. But we have imperceptibly gone beyond the lamppost, and I am coming to the sphere of the lighthouses. Yesterday I spoke about Nyaya Vaisheshika and Sankhya and Yoga, and say something about the Vedanta in the beginning. I may tell you something about Vedanta today and after tomorrow, and if necessary, day after tomorrow, regarding the verdict of the saints and the sages. The Vedanta, especially, there are five great acharyas of Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta, or the Dvaita Vedanta. But of the five, there are only two who are great, and the others are the subordinate, or just as permutations and combinations should be. There will be three are added on. Two are very great, and they are Madhvacharya on the one hand and Shankaracharya on the other. So far as Vallabhacharya is concerned, it is better that he should be at Nathadwara only. And Ramanujacharya is concerned, he has called his system as Vishishta Advaita. If it is Vishishta Advaita, why is it not Vishishta Advaita? Let anybody answer this. It is just as the Ganga Sagar. Neither the waters of the Ganges nor the waters of the sea. He is just at that junction where the Ganga meets the ocean. So that he can just have this side or that side. He has no uncompromising truth. So Ramanujacharya also, I do not consider him as a great man. Though there are books of Ramanujacharya, and the Vaishnava Sampradaya may say that Ramanujacharya is one of the greatest. He is just a sort of favoritism, not philosophical, but a sort of, you can say, a liking of the man. There's nothing more than that. Madhvacharya is greatest, as great a man as Shankaracharya. He is a theist. He he stands on the bank of the Ganges, and Shankaracharya is in the sea, the open sea. That is the difference between Vyasacharya and Shankaracharya, though both of them are very great intellectually. And Nimbarka, for example, is just a sort of conglomeration of all these things. What we call, if you cannot bake the bread of jari or wheat, then mix the two and then have some sort of, you say, Nimbarka. Shuddhadvaita. As if what he understands, I do not understand by Shuddha, Shuddhadvaita and Advaita. What difference, fundamental difference is there? I have not been able to understand as yet. Though I have given a lecture on the five acharyas, and just Thakur has given a very beautiful summary of his Vedanta, of these five acharyas, yet I myself am not able to understand the contribution, the significance of the contribution of these three persons, Nimbarka, Ramanujacharya, and Vallabhacharya. Theism passes into mysticism. That is, just as the Ganges passes into the ocean, Namarupe Vihaya, that is, as soon as it pours its water in the sea, then Ganga is there no more. So theism requires a god and a devotee. That has been pronounced by Madhvacharya. I am your servant. That is what Madhvacharya says. And you are my God. That sort of great disposition is throughout maintained by Madhvacharya. By Shankaracharya is not like that. Shankaracharya, of course, is a theist, but it is a guarded theism. He is par excellence an Advaitic philosopher. Similarly, you will find traces of Advaitism in Madhvacharya. Probably this must not have been seen by students of philosophy as yet, but I do find that there are traces of Advaita in theism. Because otherwise, had there been no such elements, then it would be impossible for a devotee of God to become God. It will not be possible. Because there are elements, there is something in Madhvacharya which reminds us of the being an Advaita, therefore it is possible from going from theism into Devo Bhutva Devam Yaje. You become God and still worship God. This is the common element between theism and mysticism. That mysticism requires a God. Theism also requires a God. But theism requires God for devotion. And mysticism requires God for being one with God. Now here, incidentally, I may tell you how there is fundamental difference between Hegelism and the one hand, and this our Indian philosophy in general. Hegel says that there is a thesis, there is an antithesis, and there is a synthesis. I told you the difference of that in my one of the lectures, but now I may tell you, here is a fundamental difference. What is that? From theist you go to antithesis. I ask you, is not antithesis a thesis and thesis becoming antithesis? Just possible. Because there is just a relation between seed and the tree. What is it? Which is the thesis and which is the antithesis? We can't say. Similarly, here also, in Indian philosophy, what is it? It is non-being first, becoming afterwards, and being still. So being is the synthesis of non-being and becoming. Just see, I am ignorant today. I know the process that I am reading, keeping in memory, and taking lessons from my teacher. So this is the process. I pass through that process. And then you become something. That is, you do not know what is your stand. You are no graduates today, but you come and take lessons from your teachers. You are in the process of being, of becoming. That is becoming, and afterwards you become a graduate. So graduation is nothing but the fruit of your process of becoming, of your study. In that course, which you do not know at all. This is what is known as this. It is just the opposite of Hegelian philosophy. You do not know your ignorance first, then you become, by the process, by adopting the process, the ethical discipline process, the spiritual process, you become what you are. So, it is the synthesis is of non-being and becoming. While the synthesis in Hegel is thesis, I mean, 90-degree time synthesis. Why it is so? It is the contradiction of that. Is antithesis the contradiction? If antithesis is true, then thesis will be the contradiction of antithesis. If antithesis is the contradiction of thesis, is not thesis the contradiction of antithesis, I ask? In the Bhagavad Gita, you know, dualastham jantike chatatva. What is this? This is not contradiction. In the Upanishad also, asina duram shayano duram gacchati. What does it mean? Is it not contradiction? In the yoga philosophy also, chandramasam amuridas prashati. Can you touch the moon by your finger? What does this mean? We do not understand well. I shall tell you only. Durastam chantikate. If a thing is here, it cannot be there. If it is here, it cannot be there. And if it is there, it cannot be here. This is the law of contradiction. But the spiritual life goes beyond this contradiction. Both are, he says. Not only this, durastam chantikate. Tat means that Brahman is there as well as here. Not only there, in the intervening space, the Brahman is there. Kare geta vastu lagi adave Brahma, as Ramdas has said. What does it mean? Ramdas has said that if you catch hold of a thing, before catching hold of the thing, the Brahman is there. What does this mean? Durastam chantike chatat. At every point when you have wanted a photograph of it, that is not a photograph of that man. From there to here, you can have. As in hundreds of photographs and innumerable photographs between the space. Similarly, the Brahman is spreading throughout. From here to there, it is a procession of the Brahman. You can't say that it is there first and not here. It is at the same time, that is the moment. At the same time, here as well as there. It is just continuous from point to point. That is what is taught by Indian philosophy. Durastam chantikesha, that does not mean that it is at one time there and another time here. At one place there and at another place here. It does not mean. It is at the same time in both the places. You know, it breaks the law of contradiction and goes beyond the law of contradiction. So this is the fundamental difference between what we have stopped up to Hegel and gone beyond that to Pingle, Patterson and Royce. But they are in the same line. They follow blindly. Just as one blind man following another man and all of them coming to a ditch, they fall, similarly has been the fate of all philosophers. They have asserted, and even today if you go to America or England, especially to America, you will find assertion, self-assertion. A boy goes to school and learns nothing but assertion. And when he comes back, or when the girl comes back, he says to his mummy, it is not your business. At the age of 13, a girl tells her mother, you see, when she has a dating, she goes out. I have to go. No, daddy, you don't know. I have to go. I want it. He says to daddy, this is self-assertion. Assertion of the self. In philosophy, in the daily life, in common sense, this self is asserted. While in Indian philosophy, the self is negated. Now it is for you to see which is better, whether to negate the self or to assert the self. A funny example, I brought a cutting of it from America. The boy says to his father, daddy, you didn't know? You didn't know the taste of this wine? I knew it long ago. A boy says to his father, I brought a cutting from there. Wow, wonderful. A boy says, daddy, you never knew this wine before? I knew it long ago. Wonderful, this is the result of self-assertion. Here, you will be all humble. You are taught to be humble. No, in spite of your knowledge, yajjapi vedabhagame nath tavam. Shankaracharya says just how low he goes. Yajjapi vedabhagame, there is no difference between God and man, yet. Nath, he nath. I belong to you, not you belong to me. That is what the great Shankaracharya says. In spite of the fact that he is one with God, he says this. This is not can say. He will say,
If there is no difference, I am greater than you, O God. If I had not been there, where would I have been? That would have been the statement of an American. But this is not the statement of an Indian, and especially of Shankaracharya. I am just giving you an introduction so far as to disentangle yourself from the dream that the Western philosophy has taught us everything. No, it has given us only the outer meaning, outer. And it is exactly in this manner I am telling you the drawbacks of the Vedanta also. That a half-baked Vedanta is of no use. This is being taught in the university, but unfortunately, a half-baked Vedanta, just as a half-baked Vedanta will create indigestion, you see, and will not help you for digestion. Similarly, the half-baked Vedanta will make you arrogant, not humble. I shall point out some of the drawbacks of this Vedanta. In the introduction to his Bhashya, Shankaracharya has written four conditions. And who should study Vedanta? And he has given four conditions. If these four conditions are satisfied, I say that there is no need of studying Vedanta. Just the opposite, I have no fear about it, to going against Shankaracharya. What are they? Yes, he says, Nityanitya Viveka Vastu Viveka. Nityanitya Vastu Viveka. Discrimination between what is Nitya and Anitya. If you know this, then where is the need of studying Vedanta? If this is the prior condition of studying Vedanta, where is the need of studying Vedanta? If you can understand that this is Nitya, abiding forever, eternal, and this is Anitya, perishable, then where is the need of studying Vedanta? Then another condition is Ya Mutra Phalabhoga Viraga. If Phalabhoga Viraga is the standard, if the condition, then where is the need of studying Vedanta? If you have no desire for the fruits of your actions, in this world or in the next world, where is the need of sacrifices? Where is the need of studying Vedanta? Then there is Shamadamadi Sadhana Sampatti. If you have Shama and Dhamma, if you have sent control of your mind and senses, then where is the need of control? Studying Vedanta, and last is of course is there, that is correct, namely mumukshutva, that is the hope for being released. That is only one condition, but the three are the fruits, they are the results of Vedanta. You see, they are not the conditions of Vedanta, but they are the results of Vedanta. Now nobody has taught this, but I too am guilty of studying this. I too taught in this, what are the preconditions of studying Vedanta. I gave that, I am guilty to that extent. But afterwards when I thought, they are not the conditions, they are the fulfillments. They are the results of Vedanta. How can you come to the distinction between Nitya and Anitya without studying Vedanta? How can you come to this condition of desirelessness of all in this world, of the fruits of this world or the next world? Don't you want Rambhas and Urvashis? You want Rambhas and Urvashis to be brought here rather than they be there. You see. And then divine also, from the Sura, Manchan Karne ke baad Sura lai yahan. You see, all the breweries are on account of the first Sura, which they brought from Samudra Manchan. Lakshmi Kaustubha Paryatak Sura, Dhanvantari Chandrama. I said, 14 jewels they brought by churning the ocean, and one of them is wine, Sura. And now, of course, there are various shops in Jodhpur and other places. The Sura shops are there, and we are trained in drinking in them at night or any other place, whenever we want them. So this is nothing but a heritage of our ignorance. Heritage of our ignorance, of our forefathers, and from God's also. If that is the thing, then there is no need of studying Vedanta. So these are the results, these are the effects of studying Vedanta, not the conditions of studying Vedanta. We should not have them before, we have them after the study of Vedanta. Then, another thing which I want to point out is, there are the four great Mahavakyas, so-called Mahavakyas. Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvam Asi, then Ayam Atma Brahma, and Sarvam Khalu Idam Brahma. Now, are these absolutely correct? Is there no flaw in it? Aham Brahmasmi. Now this is the greatest form. Aham Brahmasmi. And people there are, false prophets, who teach that make a jap of this Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. Are you not asserting the Aham along with the Brahman, I ask? Are you not asserting Aham Brahmasmi? If I make a jap of it for 24 hours, suppose, what do I gain in that? I am asserting Aham along with Brahman. As a matter of fact, Aham Brahmasmi, meaning it is an equation. Aham is equal to identify with Brahman. And if Aham is to be identified with Brahman, then Aham goes away and Brahman remains. That is the truth of it. But in this saying, Aham Brahmasmi, this great sentence, four Mahavakyas we are taught, but Aham Brahmasmi contains this, you say, great danger of asserting the Aham along with the assertion of Brahman. This is wrong. This is not Vedanta. This is anti-Vedanta. This is something which goes against Vedanta. Similarly, tat tvam asi, the same thing. Tat means Brahman and tvam means yourself. If Uttaraka had told you, who was that man, Shetaketu, that tat tvam asi means that Brahman is yourself, is he not giving the lesson in asserting tvam along with that tat? This is the Upadesha Vakya. But what Upadesha has he given? Assert yourself. Is that the Upadesha? Is he meant cancel your tvam in that with reference to that tat? That ought to have been. But it is not tat tvam asi. Tvam tat asi. If you, the whole of the content of your tat tvam is that, then where is that tvam tat tvam? Similarly, where is that aham? Aham has been eaten by Brahman. So tvam has been eaten by that tat. And third, you can say, what is that? Sarvam khalu idam Brahma. Where is that sarvam khalu? Sarvam? Where is that sarvam? All this mountains and rivers and plains and fields and everything in the world, is there Brahman? It is analogous to yes. Janata janata namaskar. Janata? How is it possible? Janata? How can the janata be equal to Janardhan? You are saluting whom? Are you saluting the janata or the Janardhan? One does not know. But it is a manner of speaking. Pick it up. False Vedanta is the teaching. Ado Brahma Masmi iti anubhava udite khalvidam Brahma paschat. Shankaracharya sanai kaha, Ado Brahma, mai konu kastvam Brahma. I am Brahman. What you call this is nothing but Brahman. Where is that I? I have gone, cancelled, annihilated, destroyed, submerged, dissolved in that Brahman. So there is no trace of that aham. Ado Brahma aham asmi. In the first place, you should know that I am who? Brahma. I am the Brahman. Iti anubhava udite, not intellectual. If you have realized this, then you can talk of everything else in the world as Brahman. Otherwise, what is the good of saying that this table is Brahman, this wall is Brahman, that tree is Brahman, this sipai is Brahman? What is the good of saying it? If you have not seen yourself as Brahman, what is the good of saying that? Similarly, ghat ghat mein Ram bhara hua hai. What is the meaning of that? If your own ghat is vacant, why do you speak of in his ghat or their ghat Ram bhara? How do you know that? It is nonsense. It is sheer nonsense. It is nothing but using Vedanta. Vedanta, without understanding, it is the diarrhea of words, without, you see, and constipation of thought. It is nothing but the diarrhea of words and constipation of thought. You have not digested Vedanta at all. It is false Vedanta which you have digested. Aham Brahmasmi and Tattvamasi and Sarvam Khalu Idam Brahmam should be cancelled altogether. And what should be written? I am Atma Brahma. That is the highest. I am Atma, that is, you see the Atman, and what is it, the Atman? Nothing but Brahman. So, I am Atma also is transformed into Brahman, but it is not so, you can say, defective as the other three statements are. At least the three statements should be dropped out of Vedanta. Yeah, it is false Vedanta. Because he learns to assert the Atman, he learns to assert the whole world is like that. What is this all? oh, it is nothing but Brahman. Nothing but Brahman. And then dirt also is Brahman. Gutter water also is Brahman. Why don't you drink gutter water? And why don't you drink the water of the Ganges only? If water is there in the gutters and if water is there in the Ganges, why don't you drink the water of the gutter, thinking that it is nothing but Brahman? There, of course, it is a practical life, sir. Now you make the difference between practical life and the non-practical life of the Brahman. And when you speak, don't make this difference. This is false Vedanta. And you may know also, Om Tat Sat. Oh, unnecessary. As if it is something which you have understood. Om Tat Sat. You have nothing, not understood, but it is a fashion. Om Tat Sat. At the end of your examination paper also you may write. Anywhere you may write, he doesn't know the meaning of it. What is that Om and what is that Tat and what is that Sat? But here I end. That's all. The book ends here. Om Tat Sat. The answer book ends here, you see. And the marking ends here. That is the meaning. Om Tat Sat. You have not understood it. Why did you write? Why do you write it? Om means devotion. Devotion leads you to Tat. And that from that, the conduct which issues is Sat. Good. That is the real meaning. Is that all? Om Tat Sat? Meaning is an ending thing. But we do write it as the effect of wrong teachings of Vedanta. Wrong assimilation of Vedanta. These are the pitfalls of Vedanta, I tell you. These are the dangers of Vedanta. You don't believe in Aham Brahmasmi. You don't believe in Tattvamasi. You don't believe in Sarvam Sarvam Brahma. But believe in Om as the devotional step towards reaching Tat, meaning Brahman, and from that whatever issues is good. Meaning whatever is the will of Brahman, that is good. That is the meaning. So you will learn, you see. Somebody says, a rascal also can speak this way. Nishtray gunne, I am nishtray gunne. Main to Brahma hu, mere ko kya hai? You have become Brahman. Achha. Then give some chili powder to eat, he will not. But give some mithai from Khanda Parsa, he will eat it immediately. He will eat it at least by night. So not by day. Is it? Why should he just give it? Nishtray gunne tumhava. Nishtray gunne pati vicharatam ko vidit ko nisheda. The vidhi and nisheda, the injunctions and the prohibitions do not belong to you. They may not belong to God, but do they not belong to you? The distinction between the good and the bad is from the human point of view. They may not be true from the ultimate point of view or from the point of view of God. This is again, Nishtray Gunyo Pati Vicharatam Ko Vidit Ko Nisheda. A rascal, a sinner, a drunkard may say this, but teaching is the effect of false Vedanta. I am telling you how the half-baked Vedanta makes a man rotten in course of time. So, Vedanta also will not save us. That is what I say. Vedanta also will never save us. You see, study of Vedanta will not save you. Study of Western philosophy will not save you. Study of Indian philosophy will not save you. But what will save you is the saying and the teachings of the saints in the world. Not in India, of the world. That will save you. If you at all wish that, if you don't wish it, and if you wish to deceive yourself and to deceive others, then go on with this false Vedanta. Go on with the Western philosophy. And you will end in doom and despair in the world at last. You will have no peace of mind. So philosophy will not make us good men. We teach Indian philosophy, whether it is Indian philosophy or Western philosophy, whether it is Vedanta or anything in the world, will not make us good. But what is the good? We do not want to be good, we want good to be beyond. You can't fly, my friend. You will be brought down to the earth by the law of gravitation. You will not Usanga Chandi Sattvastha. If you do not have that sattva, you will never go up, of course. Madhyantishtanti rajasa, jaganya guna vrittistha, adoga chanti tamasaha. So you are made up in tamas and you will go down and down only. It is not possible for you to raise your shoulders up. So there is a false Vedanta, and we are attached to false Vedanta only, to the teaching of the false Vedanta and to the practice of the false Vedanta. Beyond this we shall have to go to the true Vedanta. And what is the true Vedanta? Where is that true Vedanta? Hidden? It is not hidden, but it lies from devotion. Om Sat Sat. There. You have to go by the way of devotion. Tyatunanyaya shakya aham evam vidojuna jnatum drashtunja tatvena praveshtunja tatvena. It is only by devotion, by the way of devotion, nanya pantha, there is no other way except devotion. You cannot talk about God. You should see God, know His nature, you see, become God, and then talk about God. I am here, of course, you will ask me a question, are you just doing this? I may not, because I am giving an intellectual picture of it. I am a student of philosophy. I have understood that, what are the dangers of philosophy, and therefore I am speaking. I may not have understood God, but I have understood everything intellectually, and therefore I am speaking before you. Otherwise, don't ask me this stupid question, have you, sir, have you understood God? I have not. What of that? And supposing I have, what is good of you? How are you benefited? You are not benefited by my spiritual experiences or by my spiritual bankruptcy of these experiences. You are in no way concerned. Your life is separate, my life is separate, you see. So therefore, you are not at all concerned with the spiritual gain or the spiritual loss of myself. I am only standing here as an intellectual interpreter of Vedanta and all the schools, even of spiritual life. Whatever I have understood, I can give you the intellectual. And from that, if you understand, you can go further or go down, as you please. It is left to you. You have got your freedom, I have got my freedom. So what I say is that there is true Vedanta also. And that is not taught. The true Vedanta is hidden. And for that, we shall have to go. We shall have to seek that. Now take other things. Karmani akarmaya paschet akarmani cha karmaya. What does this mean? You have to see actionlessness in action, and you have to find out action in actionlessness. How am I? Now I am actioning, I am speaking. Wait, where is that action? Where is that actionlessness? I am active. Now where will you find that actionlessness, inactivity in me? You are hearing. You are also doing some karma. Where is that actionlessness in you? Neither in you nor in me when I am speaking nor when you are listening to it. There is no inactivity on your part, there is no inactivity on my part. Then, is this not false Vedanta? No, it is not. Behind this there is something. You see. Bacon taught us, as I told you, as contemplation and activity. Alternately, it should not be there. Karmani means saptamiya. Karmani akarmaya paschet. Akarmani karmaya. That is, you must see that which is hidden in activity, and you must see that which is hidden in contemplation. What is in activity or in activity? What is that which is hidden? That is hidden, that which is extracted by these saints. So the actual saintly life is first, and of that, in language, in expression, the Vedanta has come. Vedanta is not an intellectual study only. The real Vedanta is the expression or the crystallization of what you have experienced. Otherwise, it would be a false Vedanta. Now I shall tell you what is meant by akarmani cha karma yaha and karmani. When I am active, when I am walking, when I am eating, what is that which is hidden? That is the Atman which is hidden. One who looks at the Atman while he is speaking, while he is ashtanan, gachan, shapan, shwasan, pralapan, vishwajan, grindan, unmishan, nimishan, napi, indriyan, indriyar, seishu, vasun, tekjidharayan. That man alone who sees God, who hears God, who listens to the words of God, that man alone, even while when he is active, he is said to be anubhavi. He is said to be Vedanti. They are false Vedanta. Just as the dress will not make a man saint, similarly, mere intellect will not make a man saint. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhya. This Atman cannot be got by Pravachanas, by these seminars, by this nothing. you will be blind and I shall be blind. From day after tomorrow, there will be nothing left in your mind and nothing left in my mind. We shall be like that. But supposing, taking for granted that I am seeing God before me and not anybody. I am seeing at the same time, not afterwards. At the same time, not like Baconian advice, but I am seeing God at this time, very late, when I am speaking. Then there will be. I am remembering God even by that undercurrent. Then, of course, I have seen something. I have done something. I am akarma. I am actionlessness in spite of my activity. That will be the real meaning which is hidden there. Vedanta is a hidden thing. It is a hidden treasure. And that can be found out only by the sages and saints. Not by the students of philosophy in the department of Jodhpur. Not by teachers of philosophy. Not by myself who is there asked to give lectures. No. Not by anybody else in the world except that who has seen the Atman by his devotion and by the grace of God. He will alone see. He will remember God. Otherwise it is not possible. See, he will be always hidden. And he will be always hidden that way. Karmani akarmaya pashche akarmani cha karmaya sabujjiman manusheshu sayog prasnakrut. He has done everything. Sabujjiman, that he, you can say, here is a man of wisdom. Otherwise they are all fools in degree, stupidness in degree. That's all. We may draw our salary on the first of every month, but we say, not a bit. You can say wisdom is there. Not at all. From the point of view of spiritual, because lampposts and you say, what is that? Of spiritual life. I am speaking only from that point of view. Otherwise you are all learned persons. I must go before you. From the intellectual point of view. But from the spiritual point of view, impossible. Because I know definitely that you will be caring for your increments, you will be caring for your division of your grades, and you are caring for your fat salary and for money and on the bank accounts and nothing more than that. Just as I am doing the same. Here and there, once in Manushyanam Sahasreshu, Kashti Jetati Siddhaye, Jetatamapi Siddhanam, Kashtin Mam, Veti Tatvada. Some rare person like Kabir, Tulsidas, Ramdas, Naneshwar, they, millions and millions and come to the birth and die away. They are either buried or cremated. What of that? There is nothing like that. So Vedanta will not be the real Vedanta will not be the monopoly of a teacher. It will not be the monopoly of the chief students. It will not be the monopoly of, you can say, hundreds and voters of the political life. No. The real Vedanta will be of those who have devoted themselves by sitting at the feet of the Guru. By sitting at the foot of the realized person. Guru, don't be afraid by Guru, because people sometimes do not like this word Guru. You see. Because they say the Atmaivayatmano Bandhu, Atmaivari Puratmana. They do not understand Atman. They do not say Atman means myself alone. I am the custodian of all knowledge. That they understand that. It is not that way. So the Guru, you will be, if you are afraid of the word Guru, then have the realized person. One who has realized the Brahman alone can be the Guru. Not only that, he may be realized, but if he doesn't speak at all, then he is not a Guru. He will be only a saint. But Guru is some Guruha Santa Gurisa Raja. He is the king of the saints. He speaks. If he does not speak, how can the disciple know? Therefore he comes, no doubt. He mingles with persons and comes to teach him, to instruct him. Then of course he saves himself, but he is at the same time saving others. One who saves himself, there is no wonder, but one who saves others and the families of others, that he is a Guru. He is a Guru means who is Dukta and Guru means the one who brings out the hidden world. He then brings it before you. That is a Guru. If he is able to do this, that is a Guru. A man who puts beards, a man who puts ashes, or a man who puts a particular kind of dress, he is not a Guru. If he has a beard, long beard, then cut it, and then he will cease to be a Guru. You ask him to go to a barber shop, get his beard, long beard, cut and shaved, and then he will cease to be a Guru? Will he cease to be a Guru, I ask you? It is not that. You can't photograph what is a spiritual experience. You can't have a photograph. You can't have a photograph of his beard, but you can't have a photograph of the experience of God in him. He is that. Therefore, all the saints are vulnerable. In this sense, that they have saved themselves. But Guru is the king of all. Meaning, he saves himself, but he is of use to the world. He saves the erring humanity and brings him on a higher level. That is the Guru. That is the realized person, you see. And therefore, we must find out such person first. Not that every bearded man is a Guru. Not that every man who is in Uttarkashi is a Guru. I once was coming from America, you see, and there was this professor who was visiting professor going to Mysore. And he had a lady, a student, friend of his, with him. And I am getting this conversation because 24 hours we had to pass, and he came to me and we talked about several things. And he said, well, where shall we find a Guru? So go to Rishikesh, go to Haridwar, you see, and go to Uttarkashi, and you lift up any stone, you will find it, a scorpion and a Guru. You lift up any stone, and you will find a scorpion or a Guru. What do you come? And then he said, no, don't talk about it. And when you are dissatisfied, then come to me, I shall point out to you. And 6 years have passed, neither he nor his students have come to me. So this is what is the general thing. He was a professor in Philadelphia College, you see. Very good, professor. And he was going to Mysore as a visiting professor. But what of that? That I gave him this advice. Go to Haridwar, go to Rishikesh, and take any stone. You will find either a Guru or a scorpion. This is what I told him. This is what I am telling to all public. It is not like that. It is not a joke. It is Asidhara Vrata. One who can stand on an edge of a sword, he can go by the way of God. It is not given to anybody. In the old age, you will understand that there is no salary, there is no pension, there is nothing, the prices are going up, and the political situation has become more and more difficult. Then you will see the pinch, but it is too late. But it will be too late at that time. Therefore, Brahmacharya Deva, he should go. Shankaracharya took his sannyas at the age of 8. At the age of 8, Shankaracharya. And that is what Shankaracharya says. The moment you feel disgusted with this world, that very moment you should take sannyas. Sannyas means accepting yourself. No, that is not necessary. To go to another man who will give you the viksha of sannyas and then make you sannyasin and wandering beggar, that is not viksha. Viksha mangna ek uchika. This is the rule of life, spiritual life. Don't make your hand like this. Make your hand like this rather than this. Don't ask. This has been given to me as a lesson of spiritual life by my Guru. Don't make, and I'm telling you that I have not settled any man in the world as yet. I don't know what will happen tomorrow, but I have not settled any man in the world. Let him be of any. I have not settled any vice chancellor. I have not settled any Ramakrishna Dalmia. Nothing. Absolutely nothing I have not done. I have not done my hand like this before anybody as yet. So, at least I have got that negative virtue. But that negative virtue is most essential in life. This is what is needed by the spiritual life. Where should we go as a matter of fact? To what place should we go? What shall we do for having the spiritual life? You don't go to any other teacher. You see, you don't go to vice chancellors, you don't go to chancellors, you don't go to university professors, you don't go to America, anywhere, you go to a realized person. That will be the beginning of your spiritual career. You must find out. It is not necessary. I once asked a man who was in Belgaum, I was for 13 years, and a friend of mine was going to Pandicherry every year, four times he was going. He was a money man, he was going there. And I asked him once, when mother and Arvindo used to come and sit there, and there was this queue, and they used to come, hundreds and thousands of persons were from the queue and go there. So they would look at Arvindo only for a few seconds or half a minute, that's all, nothing more than that. Then I asked him, who sees
who sees whom? And none could reply to me. What is the good of your seeing the saint? Of course it is good, no doubt. But if the saint looks on you, then he will just open your mind. It is not necessary that you should see him, but Aurobindo should look at him. But this simple, single fact, it didn't dawn on his mind for 20 years. That it was I who said, it is not necessary for you to look at him. You may look or not, but if he looks at you, then he will look with you. He will look at you with grace. The grace will be there, and the grace will open the door of spiritual life. Hundreds of looking at this place will not do it. This is what I told my friend. Unfortunately, he went to Aurobindo ashram. He sold his property. And there are innumerable persons from Bengal and other provinces who have sold their property for lakhs of rupees and gone there as disciples. What have they earned? They have lost financially here, and they have lost spiritually. They have not gained anything. This is not necessary. You be in samsara, but let Paramatma come in your samsara. Let not samsara go into Paramatma and spoil the Paramatma. Let Paramatma go into your samsara and make your samsara healthy. That is the secret of spiritual life. So in the first place, the first thing of spiritual life is not to learn Vedanta so much, but to be at the feet of your guru. And such a guru, you must toil and toil and then find it. It is not possible. Another thing, at Jaipur there was a very good man, no doubt. And I asked him, well, he had made 8 times gurus and left them. Left them. And the 9th time he said, what should I do? How many gurus had you have? I said, yeah, I had 8 gurus. Did you hold them or did they hold you? So I held them. Then you can leave them at any time. If your guru does not hold you, you see, then of course it is useless. Find out a guru who will hold you, and not you should hold him. Because in deep waters you may leave him, but he will not leave you. Once he catches you, he will not leave you. So nobody takes it. If you find a man of beard, then you consider him he is. I once told here also, a bearded man had come, and he was the guru, and in his presence his disciples were there. I said, these people do not want God, they want the power of God. I said to him, and incidentally, there is one of his disciples here in this hall. You see. And I said, they do not want God. These 8 or 10, 15 persons who have come here, they do not want a God, God, God. You should devote, and your fruit of the fruit of your devotion should come to them. For their benefit in samsara, that is all they want. I said it. In the presence of these disciples, in the presence of their guru. And he kept quiet. Yet he told me afterwards, what you say is absolutely correct. Nobody wants God, but everybody wants the power of God. Nobody wants to meet the sun, because he will be scorched and deadened. But everybody wants the warmth of sun in winter. You see, he wants to...